السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هم الذين يقولون لا تنفقوا على من عند رسول الله حتى ينفضوا ولله خزائن السماوات والأرض ولكن المنافقين لا يفقهون. لئن يقولون لئن رجعنا إلى المدينة ليخرجن الأعز منها الأذل، ولله العزة ولرسوله وللمؤمنين ولكن المنافقين لا يعلمون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, in the light of whatever is happening around the world, I have been discussing certain ayats of the Quran Sharif and certain hadiths of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the Jummah bayan, I was discussing the battle of Ahzab and the similarities, some of it. In tonight's majlis, I wish to discuss this one ayat of the Quran Sharif. Of course, it is not a tafsir program, but look in the light of this ayat and see if you can find similarities, compare with what is happening around the world. In Surah An-Nisa, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses one ayat, or in one ayat Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses the munafiqeen. And also before that, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ ازْدَادُوا كُفْرًا لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ سَبِيلًا. Those who believe, then rejected faith, then believed, then rejected again, then believed, they believed and they rejected, they believed and they rejected, and then they continued, or they increased, or they progressed in the rejection of the faith. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not forgive them, and Allah Ta'ala will not show them the straight way. Allah Ta'ala will not show them the way. That means these people who had this sifat of the munafiqs, or the munafiqs themselves, although some have said that it's referring to the Jews also. But I'm not going to tafsir, so just for the purposes of our majlis, that those who had this sifat, that one minute they are accepting Islam, one minute they are rejecting. One minute they are on the left, next minute on their right. They are two-faced. They have got no real principles, no policy, no commitment, no dedication, no sincerity. When they find the taking of the name of Islam suitable and bringing them some rewards, then they take the name of Islam. And when they find the taking of the name of Kufr, or the siding of Kufr, materially beneficial, then they take the name of Kufr and they side Kufr. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that He is not going to forgive these type of people, and He will not show them the way, because you can see that they are jack in the box, and they are la ilaha ula wa la ilaha ula. Na illa allazi na ulla allazi, as they say. You just do not know which side they are. This was the trait of the munafiqeen. Allah Ta'ala then says, Bashiril Munafiqeen. Give glad tidings. Give the good news to the Munafiqeen. Allah Ta'ala says, give good news. He's not saying give them the bad news. He's saying give them the good news. What is the good news for them? بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. That for them is a very severe punishment. Very painful punishment. But to increase that pain, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, give them that good news. They think they are fooling Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they are not fooling anyone but themselves. So give them the good news that there is a very painful punishment for them. If it is the hereafter, then of course it is well known that it is in the azab of Jahannam. But even in this world, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them a very painful punishment, and that is that nobody really trusts them. I'm not making tafsir, I'm giving you some lataif. That the person who is a munafiq, the person who is two-faced, the person who tries to win the sympathy or the support of every person and every group and every society and every community, and then that person is bound to get caught up in his lies and in his double action. He is going to get caught up. One person is going to say, no, but he told me that I am with you and you have all my backing and all my support, my logistical support and my economic support and my political support and my military support. He said, he promised that he's going to give everything to me. He said, yes, but in the discussion that we had in the White House, in which evil and black deeds take place, in there we heard something else, that he promised also us full support and full backing. So the person is bound to get caught up in his lies some way or the other. He is not going to be able to sustain that policy of his, that I am with you too and I am with him too. I am with you also, you are my friend. And when he talks to your enemy, then he says, you are also my friend. So Allah Ta'ala says, give the munafiqeen the glad tidings, the good news, that there is a very severe punishment for them, very painful punishment for them, very grievous penalty and punishment for them. الَّذِينَ يَتَّخِذُونَ الْكَافِرِينَ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who take the kuffar as friends instead of the believers. Instead of taking the believers as friends, they make the kuffar as their friends. They make the kuffar as their awliya. Allah Ta'ala says, أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Are they seeking some kind of izzat? Are they seeking some kind of honor? Are they seeking respect? Are they seeking dignity? They are seeking dignity, honor and respect in the friendship of this kuffar. Allah Ta'ala says, where are they going? Where are these, what are these people heading for? Where is their intelligence? Where is their iman? Where is their faith and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? All honor lies with Allah. فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Wherever you look, whichever way you turn, if you want honor, if you want respect, then there is no other place that you will find that respect and honor except in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. All the treasures of respect are with Allah. The treasures of honor are with Allah. The treasures of dignity are with Allah. And all the might and power and everything is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And then in Suratul Munafiqun, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala clears that. There is an incident that took place. Just to give it to you very briefly, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was returning from Ghazwa Bani Mustalaq. And on the way, they stopped, they were successful, they were victorious in the battle. Then there was a well where they, some dispute took place between a muhajir and an ansar. Now we know that the muhajirin, when they came over from Makkah Mukarramah, the ansar opened out their hearts. They gave them half of everything that they possessed. They made them partners in their wealth. They opened up their homes for them. They sacrificed so much for the muhajirin. Now there was a little bit of a dispute between two brothers. Now we must remember, I mentioned in some majlis long time ago, that these disputes or some of these incidents that we find in the Hadith Sharif, it was there to give us a lesson that we are human beings and these type of things can happen. But if it does happen, then what should you be doing? For example, you will find some incidents here and there, some isolated cases. It's not that like it was a habit that the Sahabas, na'uzubillah, they were indulging in adultery, they were indulging in stealing, they were indulging in fighting and criticizing and mocking or teasing or anything of that nature. Nothing of that kind. They were people that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chose as companions for Rasul-e Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But you get some incidents, and those were to set down the rules that if somebody has to steal, then what should be done? It was not theoretical, it had to be practical. So one or two you will find here and there. Or if it is adultery, then what should be the punishment? So there too you will find that it was based on confession. It was not that the police went around searching and after that they arrested that woman or arrested that man and brought them. They came and confessed, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is the sin. This is the mistake that we made. Now punish us. We don't wish to be punished in the hereafter. And yet they could have made sincere tawbah quietly. But they were prepared to take the stones on their bodies, but they were not prepared to face Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in a state that they were sinful. What kind of himmat they must have had? What kind of iman they must have had? That the person knows fully well that I'm going to be stoned to death. That woman knows fully well she's going to be stoned to death. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving her an opportunity that now you've got the baby, until the baby is not born, we cannot carry out the punishment. Thinking that now she will go away. She comes back again with the baby. Says now you have to wean the baby. Another 2 years will go. But she comes back again and says the baby is now not even eating. And so this is the type of iman that they had. So here also this little quarrel that took place between the two sahabis, it was to show that if some kind of an incident of this nature takes place in your society, then what should be your condition? How you should immediately try to resolve it? How you should forgive each other? How you should embrace each other and say, I've forgiven you, you forgive me. Shaitan tried to interrupt and Shaitan tried to create friction and disunity. But they did not continue with that enmity and hatred and dislike for that Muslim brother of theirs. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala there in that ayat which I discussed earlier, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is warning the believers that do not make these people who are the enemies of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala as your friends. Yes, trade with them is permissible. To trade and deal with them is permissible. To be compassionate and kind is not only permissible, it is recommended and it is sawab. If they are your neighbors or if they are your customers or they are clients or in whichever way that you are coming into contact with them, then to show your akhlaq and your character, to be honest and to be truthful, to deal with them in the proper Islamic manner, not to cheat. All these things are not only recommended, it is farz and it's compulsory. It doesn't mean that if a person is non-Muslim, so now you can cheat. Some people say, well, they don't believe in Allah Ta'ala, they're going to go to Jahannam, so what's if we steal some money from them? So how do we have that guarantee in the first place that they are going to go to Jahannam? Before his death, that person could accept Islam. And even if he dies on kufr, it doesn't give us the permission or the green light to steal. If there is any debt that is owed to a non-Muslim, it is compulsory that we pay back that debt, whatever is due. Here what we are talking about is to make them bosom friends, and to make them your friends instead of those who are believers. To give them your secrets, to give them the secrets of the Muslim community, to assist them and help them in bombarding, in attacking those who are believing in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to side them in those matters which we know that it is the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that the believers should not be siding them in such kind of matters. Now that is what is referred to, that you make them your friends, you make them your those in whom you place your confidence and trust, and you are choosing them for what reason and for what purpose? Just because you are seeing something in them, whether it is wealth, forces, influence, clothes, cars, property, gold and silver, whatever you are seeing of the material things of this world is them, therefore you are siding them. Allah Ta'ala says, are you going to get respect in that? You think you are going to get respect? Because respect lies with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. If you are going to search for respect there, then you are going to lose terribly. And Allah Ta'ala is going to bring about humiliation and disgrace and suffering upon you. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early days of Islam, how many people were with him? In Dar-e-Arqam, how many people were there? But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when the Quran Sharif was revealed and the believers increased, then Allah Ta'ala gave them respect because of their Islam, because of their belief in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that is what he said, that you were in a minority, you were very very small in numbers, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you respect because of Islam. Nahnu qawmun azzan Allahu bil Islam. You were a humiliated and mean group, people who had no status, no position, no worth at all, then because of Islam Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you respect. So whosoever will search for respect in anything else besides Islam, Allah Ta'ala will bring about destruction and Allah Ta'ala will bring about humiliation upon that person. In fact, there is immediate humiliation if only the person has got an understanding. So therefore, in this incident also, where there was a little bit of a dispute between two persons, one a muhajir and one an ansar. So the muhajir called to his group, "Oh, you muhajirin, come to my assistance." And the Ansar called his group, "Oh, you Ansar, see what this Muhajir is telling me, you come to my assistance." That little bit of commotion that took place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam heard this and he came immediately. And he said, "What is this call again of Jahiliyyah? This call of Jahiliyyah, that same thing that we talk about racism, racism." He said, "What is this call of Jahiliyyah again? This racism business, which because of Iman and Islam, it had completely been annihilated. Now what is this again you are calling, O Ansar, and this person is calling, O Muhajir?" Now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had not come immediately, there would have been a big fight. They were just getting ready to again fight each other. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam calmed the whole situation. They embraced each other, they forgave each other, and there is a long story. But Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who was the leader of the Munafiqeen, he was also in this Ghazwa, in this battle. He used to join wherever it suited him, and where he felt that now he's going to lose, or the enemies are going to attack and they may lose their lives, then they made excuses and disappeared. This was a group that was two-faced, and they caused tremendous amount of agony and harm and problem for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But because they used to read the kalima, and not only read the kalima, on a Jummah day, this Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul used to stand up, and he should say that this is the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you have gained your respect and honor because of this Rasul of Allah. Therefore, listen to him carefully and obey whatever he asks you to do. That is what he used to stand up and say in the masjid on Jummah day. And then when he used to go to his own people, after that he says, "No, we are just fooling them. We are with you." So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he calmed the situation. But after that, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, when he saw that this is an ideal opportunity to create friction and division again, so he told his people, "You see, these are muhajirin who came over to Madina Tayyibah. You are the ones," he told the Ansar, "you are the ones who opened up your hearts and your homes to them, and you gave them so much of your produce, and you gave them 50% of your farms and everything you shared with them." He says, "You are the ones who made this big mistake. What you should do is get rid of them. As soon as you return to Madina Tayyibah, you should get rid of them." And the words that he used is, يَقُولُونَ لَئِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْأَعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُّ. نَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. He says that when we are going to return to Madina Tayyibah, those who are of honor and those who are of respect and those who are of dignity, they will remove those people who are azal. He called the muhajirin azal, very mean, very humiliated group of people, very despicable, those who had no status, no position, na'uzu billah, as if they had become a parasite upon them. So he says, when we are going to return, then we are the respected and the honored ones, and we are going to get rid of all this muhajirin from Madina Tayyibah. When he said this, there was a sahabi by the name of Zaid ibn Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala an, who was young, but he overheard this, what Abdullah bin Ubay, that munafiq and that hypocrite, said. So he reported it to his uncle, and his uncle reported it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From here we learn that if there is a statement which can cause friction and division and disunity, or cause harm to a group of people, if we have heard it and it is authentic and reliable information, then we must convey it to the person who we suspect is going to be harmed, or who we expect is going to be harmed. That is not ghibat, because you are going to save a whole community or a group of people or an individual from harm. And the other is just circulating that which is rumors that circulate in society. Now here Hazrat Zaid ibn Arqam was a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no doubt in his reliability. There was no doubt in his honesty and truthfulness. There was no such thing as he's going to go and speak lies. So this report that he gave to his uncle, and he reported to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was nothing but the truth. But again, look at Islam, and look at the deen of Islam, and look at Sharia, and look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's justice, that he called Zaid ibn Arqam and he asked him that, what did you hear? He didn't say, just because Zaid ibn Arqam said, so now take your swords and go and take his neck off. What did Zaid ibn Arqam say? He said, call him. So he asked Zaid ibn Arqam that, what did you hear? He said, this is what I heard. That he said, لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. So he said, probably you didn't hear it correctly. He says, no, Ya Rasulullah SAW, I heard it correctly. This is exactly what he said. He said, is there any argument between yourselves, or is there any kind of a problem between yourselves? Is there any ill feeling between between the two of you, between you and Abdullah bin Ubay? Because are you saying it because you are not in agreement with him over some issue or the other, so now you want me to punish him, so therefore you are bringing about some kind of an illegitimate complaint? So he says, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have got nothing against him. Now look at it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this is what we call justice. That is asking for evidence, and he is getting the testimony of Zaid ibn Arqam. Now when he got the testimony of Zaid ibn Arqam, and Zaid ibn Arqam was speaking nothing but the truth, so he asked Abdullah bin Ubay, Al-bayyinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yameenu ala man ankar, that either you bring evidence and prove it, or the defendant must take qasam. So Abdullah bin Ubay began taking qasam upon qasam, that it's absolute lies, I never said anything like that, and this is just a slander against me, because that was the sifat of the munafiqeen, lies upon lies upon lies. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't say that Abdullah, that Zaid ibn Arqam, I trust him and he's honest and he's truthful, because he didn't have another two witnesses, so therefore Abdullah ibn Ubay with his lies, he got away. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the ayats of the Quran Sharif. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the ayats of the Quran Sharif, and it said exactly, لَيَقُولُونَ لَإِن رَجَعْنَا إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ لَيُخْرِجَنَّ الْعَزُّ مِنْهَا الْأَذَلُ. Testifying in favor of Hazrat Zaid ibn Arqam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So this incident that took place, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala after that says, because he had said that these people are azal, they are mean, they've got no respect, they've got no dignity, no honor. So Allah ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah ta'ala says, you are saying that they have got no respect. Nay, he says, respect and honor Allah Ta'ala has got, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has got, the believers have got, but the munafiqeen, they do not know. That means if you're looking for respect and you are looking for honor and you're looking for dignity, then this you will find in Allah, His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the believers. If you are going to be on the side of Allah, on the side of His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and on the side of the believers, then Allah Ta'ala will give you respect, He will give you honor, He will give you dignity, He will give you a status and a position. It could be over a period of time, it's transitional period, that for some time there could be even suffering of some defeat outwardly. But in reality, that defeat is going to be victory. Because you can see in even that when Inna Fatahna Laka Fatham Mubina was revealed, when was it revealed? After the Sulah of Hudaybiyah. And in the Sulah of Hudaybiyah, in the peace treaty of Hudaybiyah, the terms were all one-sided. It was as if the Kuffar had succeeded and they were victorious because they were able to get all these type of agreement. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala called that Fatha and Fatha Mubin. And then the Mufassirin have explained, Muhaddisin have explained that why it was called Fatha Mubin. I'm not going into that. But here the dignity and the respect and the honor lies in siding Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's deen, in remaining with Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Shariat and deen, and in remaining with those who are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Outwardly, it may appear that the forces are against the Muslims and the believers. Outwardly, it may appear that the world is getting together against a small group of true believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It may seem on the surface that there is going to be terrible destruction. But for the Muslims and for the believers, I mentioned in my Jummah talk also that because we are becoming so depressed now, and it is, we can't help it when we listen to the news or when we hear what is happening. So therefore we have to listen to this also, that for the Muslims and for the believers, even if those who are on haq are in a minority, they do not have much arms and they do not have much ammunition, they do not have navy, they do not have air force, they do not have that, those kinds of radar, they do not have the anti-aircraft missile guns, nothing. But they are true believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then they must take consolation from that small group that was in Dar-e Arqam. That at that time, there was so much of opposition. The kuffar were in opposition. The mushrikeen were in opposition. When they came over to Madina Tayyibah, there was nothing but opposition from all sides. Now it was the kuffar, it was the mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah. Then it was all those Arab tribes that were in between. And then it was the Jews that were there, the hypocrites and the munafiqeen that were there. So the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood, the nasara, and the whole world was turning against them. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala brought them to the battle of Badr, brought them to the battle of Uhud, and then in the battle of the trench, and so many other things until there was Fatah Makkah. And then after that there was no way out but for all those people to accept Islam. Those were the enemies also, either they accepted Islam or they left Arabia and they went away. But the thing is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory, Allah ta'ala gave them help, and Allah ta'ala gave them such kind of assistance that it was not possible to even imagine. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his sahabas, they were undergoing such trials and such tests. So brothers, today if we have to look at the conditions around the world, it is exactly the same. That the munafiqeen are in the forefront. People who claim to be believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are not saying that they are the munafiqeen like the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but that trait of nifaq, that they are joining those who are the kuffar, they are joining those who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And they are seeking what from them? Nothing besides respect and honor. They are thinking that we will be protected, our territory will be protected, our wealth will be protected, our cultural lifestyle will be protected if we have to side the enemies. If we have to side America and its so-called coalition and alliance, then we will be saved from bombardment. Then our territory will be protected. And our un-Islamic culture and un-Islamic lifestyles will be protected. Because this is what they want. Nothing else. Why do they call them fundamentalists, fundamentalists all the time? Why do they call them extremist Muslims all the time? Because they want to follow the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. If a person does not follow, if a person does not want to follow or is not following, then at least he must keep his mouth shut. At least he must regret. He must express remorse. He must ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. He must say, Ya Allah, I am not keeping a beard. Those people are keeping beards. It is my weakness. I understand and I realize that this face of mine, it is not something that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have liked to look at. On the day of Qiyamah, how am I going to face him with you? It is my weakness. Ya Allah, give me the courage to keep my beard. Ya Allah, I'm not performing my salat. Give me the tawfiq to make my salat properly. Oh Allah, my nikahs, my walimas, my engagement parties, nothing seems to be according to the Quran and the Sunnah. But oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to make things according to the Quran and the Sunnah. The person keeps expressing remorse, regret, unhappiness and dissatisfaction over his way of life, then there is hope that this person will get hidayat. But the person who is even prepared to go to the extent of extending his arms of friendship to those who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, just so that his un-Islamic cultural lifestyle may be protected, so that his territory may be protected, so that he may get not only material help and assistance, but he will also get political, economic, and he will get military help and assistance and everything else. So then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives a very severe warning to such kinds of people, that if you are searching for respect and honor, if you are searching for respect and honor in siding those who are the enemies of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you are looking for dignity, if you are looking for a kind of status and position, then rest assured that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's azab is also very severe. And when it will hit, then you do not know what hit you. Before the person can realize, the person's kingdom is gone. And this is not something that is a fairy tale. We have seen throughout history, those who were arrogant, those who were proud, and those who were prepared to side the enemies for the protection of their thrones and for their crowns and for the protection of their kingdoms, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala raised amongst their own people such kind of opposition towards them that those people were prepared to give their lives. They were not Muslims or believers, but they were prepared to give their lives, and that kingdom went, the throne went, the crown went, and they landed themselves in prisons. How many incidents just in the past 50, 60 years have taken place of such a nature? Even this king of Afghanistan, what was his position at one time? How much of military might and power and strength he had? Kabul was a place where every kind of sin under the sun was committed. The bars and the gambling dens and the cinemas and the theaters and every other thing that you can think of was flourishing. And there was no such thing as prostitution or adultery or fornication being even treated as a crime. But then what happened to his kingdom? And he said, I will do this and I will do that. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala overthrew his kingdom. The same thing happened with Iran. The same thing happened in so many other places. So therefore we must not think that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, when he mentions something in the Quran Sharif, then it is something that we feel that it cannot happen. So Allah Ta'ala is giving a severe warning. So now we who are far away from there, what should be our position? Our position should be the same, that we should side those who are with Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, irrespective of what numbers they are, whether they've got might or strength or force or not. We have to see who is following to the best of his ability the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't say that they are perfect Muslims. They could have gone extreme in certain aspects. We don't say they are perfect. Nobody is perfect. But who is it that we can see with our own eyes that he is at least making an effort to follow the Quran and the Sunnah? Who is trying to implement what is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings in every department and in every aspect of deen? Who is it, or which group is that received so much unseen help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala when they were fighting against the Russian forces? One person, sometimes he just took a stone and they made Salatul Hajat and they said, Ya Allah, these people are going to be bombing very soon, because Allah Ta'ala used to send the birds. Their radar were the birds. Go and ask them. There are thousands of witnesses to that. That they had no radar system. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala used to send the birds. And thousands of birds used to flock and come over them. And when those birds used to come, they used to look at them and say, well, just now the bombing is going to start. Just now there will be missiles that will be fired. So they used to go away into the bunkers. Now that was the radar system for them. Then they used to take one stone and throw, and sometimes 10 tanks are blown up. Those people used to say that from where so many people are attacking us, and yet there was nobody there. It was just 10 or 20 people. There's so many incidents that have been documented, and the people are still living, those who participated in the Afghanistan jihad. So their victory over the Russians was not on the basis of their wealth or on the basis of their arms and ammunition. It was not on the basis of their military might and power. It was on the basis of their strong faith in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they took whatever they could. It's not that they didn't practice, they didn't go make any preparation, nothing. They made use of everything that they could. Whatever ammunition they had, they made use of it.
But their trust and faith was in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They believed that it is Allah ta'ala who gives victory and Allah ta'ala who gives defeat. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them victory. And when he gave them victory, then look at some of the pictures of the tons and tons of ammunition that they found in those, in the cells and in tunnels. And look at the tanks and so many missile launches and whatever Russians left and ran, they left it behind for them, and the Mujahideen got everything as Mali Ghanimat. Exactly what used to happen in the time of Sahaba Kiram, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed it in these times. So we must not get very excited and worried and concerned that now what is going to happen if these people are all destroyed. Even if all of them have to lose their lives, it will be Shahadat-e-Uzma. They will be going to Jannat. It will be a great victory for them. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala was the uncle of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we had to look at his body, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who had patience of a rock, but if he could tear and he broke down when he saw his uncle's health state, that the nose is cut, the ears are cut, the heart has been removed and it was chewed by Hinda, but yet he got the title of Sayyidul Shuhada. And up till today, every Haji that goes to Madina Tayyibah, then he considers it a great honor upon himself that he gets that privilege to go there and read at the Roza or at the Mazar of Hazrat Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. And 1400 years of more than that later, the person recalls that whole story of the sacrifice of his uncle. So this Shahadat is a great thing. Shahadat is a great thing. So we must not say that now because Shahadat is a great thing, so therefore we pray that everybody knows Billah, become Shaheed, and they must get defeated. It doesn't mean that. It means that they will put up the defense, they will fight for the sake of Islam, and according to the Quran and the Sunnah, according to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's hukam, they will defend. Even though they may be small in number, they do not have the resources. But after that, victory and defeat is in the hands of Allah ta'ala. If they are victorious, then too they are successful. And if they are defeated, then too they are successful. But those who sided the enemies, even if they are successful, then too they are defeated. And if they are defeated, then too they are defeated. They are at a loss both ways. Because they sided the enemies, because they sold their iman for miserable coins, and because they sold their iman for some territory or for some material gain or for some IMF loan or for some other overruling their debts or for some economic assistance, then even if they are successful, they are still at a loss. So this is something that gives us some kind of a consolation, but dua is something that changes taqdeer. And that is what we should be really engaging in after every namaz of ours. Don't depend on the imam sahab to make dua. In fact, after the faraz namaz of us, of Maghrib and of Isha and Zuhur, people are completing the namazes. So at that time, even the imam is told he must make a very short dua and it must be soft so that it doesn't disturb the people that are making the namazes, completing the namazes. After Asr and Fajr, you get a little bit of dua. So that is what the imam will do. But it is for each and everyone. After the namaz, make dua. When you get up, make dua. Sleeping time, make dua. Make dua, and then you see how you yourself will feel a kind of strength in your hearts. When we are going to make dua, we'll find that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is as if he's with us, and inshallah he'll be with those people too. Amen. And then, as I said, that if something happens, then we wish, then they are successful under all conditions. But we give them credit that having nothing really, and here this is the strength and the power of the so-called military might, the greatest military power on earth, and it is asking for every small country, please come to my help, please come to my assistance, please assist me, please assist me. You can see how Allah Ta'ala has put that awe and that fear into the hearts of these enemies. So many days have gone and all their threats upon threats, but they're waiting for everybody to come together on board to go and destroy one small Afghanistan which is landlocked. So it shows that is respect. Allah Ta'ala has given them already respect and honor. Isn't that respect and honor? That one small little Afghanistan, and here America with all his allies, the whole coalition, and still he's hesitating that we could land ourselves in big problems. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us the tawfiq to make a lot of dua for them. And inshallah, with the duas, things can change. And even if, as I said, خدا نہ خواستہ اللہ تعالیٰ forbid, but if they have to throw bombs and large number of them lose their lives, then too they are successful. But it must not be like that one Peshawari Pathan. So he came over to India and there he met one person, and that person gave him a lot of hospitality, extended to him hospitality, gave him food to eat, put him up in his home and gave him very comfortable stay. So this Peshawari said, he said that when you come over, then you must stay at my place. So he said, all right. So after years, then he went somewhere towards Peshawar, towards the mountains, and he found this person's home. So when he went there, so he laid down the dastarkhan, and then he went into the kitchen, or he went somewhere. So the wife, his wife, quickly whispered to this guest who had come from India. He said that you better pack your bags and disappear quickly from here. He said, why? He says, no, when my husband came over to India, then you entertained him, you gave him hospitality, you gave him good food, accommodation. So when he came back, he said that one friend of mine in India, when he comes, I want to really make his khidmat. But I don't know how to really do justice to it, because he went out of his way. So no matter how much I feed him, no matter what good place I give him to sleep, but it's not going to be sufficient. And I've read in the kitabs that the greatest position of honor is shahadat. So therefore, when he comes, then I will take his neck off and send him to Jannat straight away. So they said, if you don't want to go to Jannat straight away, then you better leave now and go away home. So it doesn't mean that we must be like that. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما, ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما. اے اللہ, ہم کمزور ہیں, ہم ضعیف ہیں, ہم ناتوا ہیں. او اللہ, وی آر ویک, وی آر ایکسٹریملی ویک. O Allah, we have no one as support besides you. O my beloved Allah, we are weak, but you are not weak. O Allah, all respect lies with you. All dignity lies with you. O Allah, the treasures of respect and dignity are with you. O my beloved Allah, we are seeking from you forgiveness of all our sins. O Allah, we know that it is because of our sins that we are suffering everywhere in the world. Oh my beloved Allah, in spite of what is happening in the world, but we are not getting the tawfiq of sincere tawbah. Oh Allah, the cinemas, the theaters, the casinos. Oh Allah, there are so many Muslims that are still flocking to all the evil places. Oh Allah, there's so much of adultery and fornication still taking place. Oh Allah, there's so much of watching of the Hollywood and the Bollywood films. Oh Allah, ummat ka ye hal hai. کہ اللہ ان کے اوپر قیامت آ رہی ہے اور ہم مسلمان ہیں کہ اللہ گناہوں کو نہیں چھوڑ رہے ہیں. اے اللہ, on the ummah such difficult conditions are coming, such trials, and oh Allah, our sins we are still not prepared to sacrifice. Oh my beloved Allah, give us the tawfiq to give up every sin of our life and to turn towards you with repentance. Ay Allah, tu hame apna bana le aur hamara ban ja. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, forgive the entire ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ay Allah, ummat ki maghfirat kar de. Ay Allah, forgive the ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, open the doors of your mercy for Rasul-e-Pak's ummat. Ay Allah, the ummat is going through very, very difficult and trying times. Oh Allah, they do not know which way to turn. Oh Allah, the enemies of Islam are all ganging up together. Oh Allah, they want to devour the Muslim ummah. Oh Allah, but the difficult position and situation is that even the Muslims, so many of them who have believed in you and your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Allah, they are making the enemies their friends. Ay, Mere Allah,
تو ہمیں اس ذلت سے بچا. یا اللہ سیو اس فرام ہیومیلیشن اینڈ ڈسریسپیکٹ. یا اللہ سیو اس فرام ہیومیلیشن. یا اللہ سیو اس فرام ڈسگریس. او مائی بلوڈ اللہ, ڈونٹ میک اس لائک دا منافقین. اے اللہ, ڈونٹ لیٹ اس بی لائک دا ہپوکریٹس آف مدینہ طیبہ. اے اللہ, دے کاز ٹریمینڈس اماؤنٹ آف ہارم ٹو رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ دا بلیورز. اے اللہ, نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام سفرڈ ٹریمینڈسلی ایٹ دا ہینڈز آف دا منافقین. اے اللہ, ٹوڈے وین ہی از بینگ انفارمڈ آف دا کنڈیشن آف ہز امہ, دیٹ مسلمز اینڈ دوز آر بلیورز in you and your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the ones who are joining and sharing with those who are the enemies. Ay Allah, how much of hurt it must be causing to my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hey, mere Allah, mere Nabi ke upar kya guzarti hogi, that ummat for whom he cried so much, that ummat for whom he shed so much of his blood, that ummat for whom he sacrificed his sleep and his health, that ummat for whom he sacrificed everything. Ay Allah, when he is informed that that ummat today is still not turning towards you. Ay Allah, they are joining the kuffar and the mushrikeen, and their culture is the culture of the Yahud and the Nasara. Ay Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ke dil par kya guzarti hogi. Ay Allah, qiyamat, on the day of Qiyamah, if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has to hold our garment, and if he has to ask us this question, that which way did you turn? In the time when my ummah was suffering, at that time, instead of praying for them, instead of helping them, instead of coming to their assistance, instead of being at their side, even at that time you did not give up your evil. Ay Allah, ہم کیا جواب دیں گے؟ اللہ ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما, کرم فرما. ہم گنہگار ہیں, ہم ضعیف ہیں, لیکن ہماری مدد فرما. اے اللہ, شیک اپ دا ملٹری مائٹ آف دا امریکن. اے اللہ, شیک اپ دیئر ملٹری مائٹ اینڈ پاور. اے اللہ, ان کے ساتھ جو ساتھ ہو رہے ہیں ان کو بھی اے اللہ تو ہلا دے. اے اللہ, بلیس دیم آئیدر ود ہدایت, بٹ اف دے آر اوبسٹینٹ, اف دے آر ایروگنٹ, اف دے آر فل آف پرائڈ اینڈ دے ہیو میڈ اپ دیئر مائنڈز to cause all causes to cause harm to the Muslim Ummah, then oh my beloved Allah, shake them like you shook the Aad and Samud. Ay Allah, there is no shortage in your forces. Ay Allah, you use the Ababil to protect the Kaabatullah and destroy the army of Abraha. Ay Allah, tu to ek langde machar se bhi tu halak kar sakta hai. Ay Allah, tere liye kya mushkil hai. Ay Allah, hawa teri fauj hai. Ay Allah, the wind is your army. Oh Allah, the wind is your force. Ya Allah, the earth is your force. Ya Allah, fire is your force. Allah, the waters of the ocean are your forces. Ay Allah, samandar ke andar, Allah, aisa tufaan barpa kar de, ke unke jahazon ko gharq kar de. Ay Allah, cause such storms in the ocean that it causes the sinking of their ships. Oh Allah, cause their firepower to be terminated. Ay Allah, unke jahazon ko aapas mein takra de. Ay Allah, unke aapas mein ikhtilaf paida kar de. Ay Allah, unki zameen ko unke niche hila de. Ay Allah, unki zameen ko unke niche hila de. Ay mere Allah, unke ghurur ko khatam farma, unke kibr ko khatam farma, unke naas ko khatam farma. Ay Allah, tu qudrat wala khuda hai. Ay Allah, tu qudrat wala khuda hai. Tu malaika ke zariye se Taliban ki madad farma. اللہ, فرشتوں کے ذریعے سے ان کی نصرت فرما. اے اللہ, ان کو ہمت عطا فرما, ان کو قوت نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, ان کو قوت نصیب فرما. اے اللہ, جس طریقے سے بدر کے اندر تو نے مسلمانوں کی مدد کی تھی, اے اللہ, ان کی تو مدد اور نصرت فرما. اے اللہ, ظالموں کے ہاتھوں کو تو روک لے. اے اللہ, give ہدایت to the Muslim countries of the world to join those who are in حق, to join those who are following the Quran and Sunnah. اے اللہ, take out from their heart material considerations. اے میرے پیارے خدا, یہ دنیا کی محبت ان کے دلوں سے نکال دے. اللہ, دنیا کی محبت ان کے دلوں سے نکال دے. اللہ, آخرت کی محبت دل میں ڈال دے. اے میرے پیارے خدا, دنیا کے اندر زندگی دے تو عزت والی زندگی دے. اللہ, either keep us with respect in this world or take us away from this world before the fitna strike. Allah, either keep us with respect on the surface of this earth or Allah, give us موت with respect and with ایمان. اللہ, یا تو عزت کے ساتھ زندہ رکھ یا شہادت کے ساتھ موت دے. اے اللہ, عزت کے ساتھ زندہ رکھ یا شہادت کے ساتھ موت دے. لیکن میرے اللہ, تو کفار اور یہود اور مشرکین اور نصارہ اور ان تمام دشمنان اسلام کے طریقے پر چلنے سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. آمین.
Hey,
mere Allah, unki taqat ko hamare dilon se nikal de. Take out the greatness of their coalition from our hearts. Take out the greatness of their military might and power from our hearts. Take out the greatness of their pentagon from our hearts. Oh Allah, take out from our hearts the greatness of their forces. Hey, mere Allah, tu teri greatness hamare dil mein dal de. Put your greatness into our hearts. Ya Allah, hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de. Ey Allah, teri madad de, tera qurb de, teri marifat de, tera yaqeen de. Ey Allah, dunya bhi de aur aakhirat bhi de. Ey Allah, dunya bhi de aur aakhirat bhi de. Oh my beloved Allah, what else can we do? We find ourselves helpless, oh my Allah. Allah, what else can we do besides turning towards you? Oh Allah, you are not helpless. Allah, you are not helpless. Oh Allah, you are not weak. Oh Allah, you are strong and powerful, you are almighty. You are all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. Ey Allah, Afghanistan ke mujahideen ki madad farma. Kashmir ke mujahideen ki madad farma. Palestine ke musalmanon ki madad farma. Ya Allah, protect Masjid-e-Aqsa. Ey Allah, Masjid-e-Aqsa ki hifazat farma. Ey Allah, Haramain Sharifain ki hifazat farma. Hamari masajid ki hifazat farma. Oh Allah, protect the Muslim Ummah from harassment. Ya Allah, protect us from harassment. Protect our masajid from attacks. Protect our homes from attacks. Protect our persons from attacks. Protect our families from attacks by the enemies. Oh my beloved Allah, all protection lies in you. Ya Allah, we are seeking from you protection. Ya Allah, if you turn away your glance of rahmat because of our sins, then oh my Allah, you tell us, who can we turn towards? Tere siwa hamara hai kon? Ya Allah, tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Mere Allah, tu hamara ban ja, tu puri ummat ki hifazat farma, puri ummat ki hifazat farma. Allah, ummat ka hal, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ke dil par kya takleef guzarti hogi. Ey Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam bhi teri taraf rujoo kar rahe hai. Ey Allah, hum bhi teri taraf rujoo kar rahe hai. Ey Allah, tu ummat-e-muslima par raham farma. Give them and restore the dignity that you gave to the Muslims of the past. Mere pyare khuda, huzur alayhi salam ke sadqe tufail mein hamari duaon ko qubool farma. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله